and thank you today, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord God, that the word is the truth, Father God, and it's the truth we can stand on. So help us, Father, as we look into your truth and we give you glory for it. Thank you for revelation in it. Thank you, Father God, for it bringing to us, God, illumination to help us, Father, to live the life you called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. We're going to look into the word here today, and we're going to look a little bit at the will of God. It's what we entitled this. We'll get into some things, but go with me to 1 John chapter 5, if you would. 1 John chapter 5, we'll teach a little bit today. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Notice that you can know that you have eternal life. You don't have to hope so. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to guess. You can know that you have eternal life. He says, "And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He... And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Now, I want you to see that again. Let's kind of zoom in on that right there. Notice it says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Well, see, that's a promise right there. You ought to just memorize that one right there. If you ask according to the will of God, you know that He hears you. Did you hear what I said? When you ask according to His will, He hears you. And if you know He hears you, then you know you have the petition you ask of Him. That's powerful. See, most of the church don't have a clue. They hope God hears them and they hope God will answer. But God's Word clearly says that if we ask according to His will, He hears. And if He hears, He delivers. Amen. Now here's where the problem falls in, is that most people don't know what the will of God is. And so that's one thing that I want to talk about just a little bit, because so many people, the church and preachers and religion has made such a great mystery about the will of God. You know, who can know the mind of God? Who can know the will of God? Let me tell you something. It's really, really simple. So simple. The Word of God is the will of God. That's it. Not man's opinion. Not some religious denomination and whatever they've made up, their bylaws or any of that. That's the will of God is the Word of God. Amen. Let me give that to you in Amplified. I like this. It says, "And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. And if since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us our present possessions, the request made of Him." That's awesome to know, isn't it? That God grants our request according to His will, and His Word is His will. You see, when you start understanding that, let's look at that. Let me give you a scripture or two. Psalms 138, verse 2 says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Now, notice about that. It says that He has magnified His word above His name. My. And we don't take much heed on the Word. We don't do much study on the Word. And God values and magnifies His Word above His name. That's something to think about. That's how much value God puts on His own Word. See, but the Bible says that He's not a man that He can lie. See, when we start looking at it, let me give you another scripture to just kind of magnify that. It says in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him," talking about Jesus, "and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now look at this. God has given Jesus a name that's above every name, right? In heaven, in earth, under the earth, every name and every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, and yet His Word is magnified above that. That's how important the Word of God is to God and should be to us. Amen. I'm trying to drive this home to you, because if you don't know what the will of God is, then you can never get the promises of God. Come on, if you don't know what the Word says about the promise, you can never receive the promise, because if I don't know about the promise, I can't get it. You could go down to the bank and deposit money in my name, but if I don't know the money's there, I can never receive that, even though it's there and in my name. Do you understand that all the promises of God are in your name? Come on. All the promises of God are yes and amen to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us. So that means every promise of God's already got our name on it. Come on, think about that for a minute. I know we don't think of it that way, but every promise of God's got our name on it. He's already given it to us. But it's up to us to go get it. It's up to us to ask for it. Right? If it's a promise of God and I ask for it, how many knows it's His will if it's a promise for me? That's His will, right? And then if I know it's His will, then I know I get what He said I could have. There's a few of you, you're about to come around to this. I'm teaching this morning because I want us to see this, because it's so simple, yet most of the church don't know it. They have no idea. There's been so many old wives' fables that have been taught, and so much of this has been taught, even about salvation. So let's just look about the will of God for salvation, and then we'll move on down to some other things. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Now listen. "Not willing," okay, "it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Notice that. So if it's not God's will for any to perish, it must be God's will for everybody to repent and come into the family of God. So if you want to know what God's will is concerning salvation, God's will is that every person accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and be in the family of God here on earth and go to heaven when Jesus comes and gets the church. That's the will of God concerning salvation. And so many folks say, "Well, you know, I just don't know if I could ever get saved or not." Well, that's just your opinion. That's not what the Word says. Notice that God's not willing that any, that includes everybody. Everybody. There's not just a few over here and a few over there, and there's just not a few predestinated and a few this and a few that. And no. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Every person. Jesus Christ died for every single person that's ever been born on the earth and ever will be born again. He died for their sins to pay the price. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 16, very familiar scripture, it ought to be for you. "For God so loved the world," that's everybody, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," how many whosoevers you got in here? We're all whosoevers. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Notice once again, God sent Jesus because it's His will for everybody on this earth to be saved. I want you to get this. God wants you saved if you're not saved. That's why He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10. See, this is what I like about God. Not only did God send and make a way, but then He tells us how. Okay? Look here in Romans 10, chapter, verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word's nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now, I'm going to read a little bit more, but let me just stop there and emphasize that. Notice that I don't got to do some kind of travel. I don't got to see some big light. There don't got to be some supernatural thing happen. Come on, listen. All my life growing up, I heard of all these people talking about how they got saved. And it was some extraordinary experiences and all that stuff. And what that leads to is somebody else thinking, well, I got to have an experience like that before I could ever get saved. Now, you know, thank God they had an experience. If they did, that's fine. That's wonderful. But here's the thing. The Word is magnified above the name of God. It's forever settled in heaven. So if the Word says it, then that's all it takes. There's nothing added to this to get saved. I'm going to read it to you one more time, just so you can hear it one more time. Verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can't get any simpler than that right there. God made that. There's nothing complicated about it. There's nothing hard about that. There's nothing there that not one person can't do. Amen. I mean, you know, you're here this morning. So if you're here this morning, I know you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe. So see, a lot of times folks go a long time, years and years, and you know, I knew one particular lady that went all her life going up and just, you know, she went to church more faithful than most of the members, and you know, it was one of those deals where, you know, they'd have you come up and shake the preacher's hand, you know. If anybody wants prayer, come up and shake the preacher's hand. And they never would take them that other step or talk to them or explain to them because, see, they didn't believe it was this simple. Well, I'll know when I'm saved. What, do you believe the Word? If you believe the Word and confess Jesus with your mouth, you're saved. That's what the Word says. Yeah, but Pastor, now I got to feel something. Wait a minute. Look, can I read that again? Is it all right if I read that again? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It didn't say you'd feel saved. Come on now. I love it when emotions come into the thing. I love it when the Holy Spirit moves on us and there's emotion. But emotions are part of the soulish area. The Word is true. Whether you believe it or not, whether you feel it or not, the Word's true. I watched Bill Hard come up and give his life to the Lord. He never shed a tear. He just come. I said, "What do you need from the Lord, Bill?" He said, "I want to be saved." I said, "All right, pray this prayer with me." I just quoted the Scripture, and he quoted the Scripture. Held up his hand. I said, "That's what the Word says." He's been faithful to God ever since. There were no emotions. Now, I've had people also come up and get saved, and man, they're crying, snotting, and even fall in the floor. I don't know where they're at today. See, it wasn't in the emotion. It wasn't in the feeling. It's about you taking the Word and just believing the Word. That's all that matters. I wish I'd have known this years ago. Because I lived a lot of my Christian life hoping I was saved. Not for sure. You know, just I'm hoping. Just because we believe that a person can backslide don't mean you can't know that you know you're on your way to heaven. Come on. You can walk away from God. The Bible says you can. But while you want to, you have to be like I was when I was young and foolish. I thought the world had something to offer me. I found out the world don't have anything but hurt, pain and agony and misery. And it sure doesn't have peace like the Lord Jesus gives. But thank God, I had 1 John 1:9. I confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me of sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He said, get back in here where you belong. Thank God I've been there ever since. Praise God. We can all make mistakes. And you will if you're human. Now, I like what Rick says. We're not just mere human, but we still, that human nature about us will cause us to, you know, drift toward that sometimes. So, you know, you will make some mistakes. You're not perfect. But you are forgiven. And the wonderful thing is, if you make a mistake, the Bible says also again, 1 John, he says, little children, I would that you sin not. I don't want you to sin, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins, but not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. In other words, when I mess up, I go back to Jesus and say, Lord, I messed up. Man, for a while I was just wondering if he just got tired of me coming. But you know what? He didn't. He didn't. It was just a matter of fact of me getting the revelation that I didn't have to just keep coming. All I had to do is ask him to forgive me, and it was done. See, it was the enemy that's the accuser of the brethren that would keep telling me how bad I'd been. How could God forgive you? No, see, it doesn't matter. If he said he did, he did. And you got to realize that. You can't let your past keep you from the future that God has for you. God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God wants us, everyone, saved. So it is the will of God for us to be saved. You look at your neighbor and say, it's God's will for you to be saved if you're not. Amen. And we got to know that. See, that's in the Word. And that is magnified above His name. Because if the Word's not true, then there's not a God. And that's not blasphemy. It's just the fact. If He magnifies His Word above His name, then if the Word's not true, then there's no God. We know better than that, though, right? Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I'm not a fool. I know there's a God. Man, and I'm glad that He delivered me. I'm glad He's still there to forgive me when I mess up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But it is God's will. Now, let's just move on just a little bit because I want you to see this, because we're talking about the will of God. And there's so much controversy a lot of times about these things. Salvation is one of those things that, you know, just depending on who you ask, they'll give you some kind of thing. But the Word's all that matters. What the Word says, that settles it all. Because their opinion is never better than the Word of God. Their doctrine is never better than the Word of God. Can I just say something and probably make some folks mad that watching, but did you notice there it didn't say that you had to be baptized to be saved? Right? Anybody see that? Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in baptism. I believe we should. I believe it's kind of a completion thing. It's what it is. It's an outward showing of an inward experience for you. Because baptism basically is just showing that the old self died and was buried as you go under the water. And when you come out of the water, you're rising to your new life in Jesus. That's basically the example that it is. That's all it is. Now, and you say, well, how could you say that? Well, I could say it because I see it in the Word. Okay. But also, you know, I've had some experience with this. My daddy was an alcoholic. Okay. His dad was a drunk. So I grew up with, you know, a drunk grandpa, an alcoholic dad. My grandpa, he was the kind that when he had money, he was drunk. And he was one of those drunks that was out. Of course, you know, back in the day, there wasn't so much traffic, but he'd be out beside the road. He was skinny. You know, he could squat down and his knees would come up by his ears. And he would be out beside the road drunk, cussing. Then he'd sing songs and, you know, he was a drunk. Okay. I don't know how many times he fell over the hill. I don't know how many times people would bring him home because he'd be somewhere down the side of the road or whatever. My dad was not that. My dad was an alcoholic.
What I mean by that is you wouldn't see him drunk. Most people didn't know. I'd seen him maybe twice in my life almost drunk. But if he woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, he didn't get a drink of water. He got a drink of liquor. He just kept it in his system at all times. He took it to work with him. I know that's not a good thing, but I'm just telling you, he was an alcoholic. He drank it all the time. Well, when my dad got saved, he had cancer of the throat. I believe probably the alcohol all of his life may have had something to do with that. I don't know. But he drank like vodka and gin. And, you know, when I'd sneak and get into it, it'd take my breath. So I imagine it took his breath when he drank it. You know, don't look at me so funny. You know, you can't grow up with a filth of vodka, a case of filth and a case of gin down in your basement and 12 or 15 cases of beer without being a young boy and sneaking into it. Right? Come on, I didn't know. You know, but I found out real quick I didn't like it. You know, thank God I didn't like it. I didn't follow in the footsteps. But my dad, once he got saved in the hospital with why he had cancer. It was his last, you know, last few months there that he got saved. But when he came out of the hospital, he came out of there talking about an experience that he had. And see, I preached. I just told you, you don't have to have an experience. But you see, my dad hadn't heard the gospel preached because we weren't a church family. But he had one of those little red Bibles from Gideon's. That's what he read. And he had the testimony that he was laying there and a light came into his room. Now, don't think you have to have a light come into your room. I'm just telling you what my daddy told. And after that, he was a changed man. He gave his life to the Lord. And he had a trach and he would write down what happened and tell people. Preachers would come visit and he'd tell them, I got saved. And, you know, he never did get baptized. My daddy's in heaven just as sure as this world. And I'm not just saying that because it was my daddy. I'm saying it because the Word don't say you have to be baptized. I believe he would have been baptized if he hadn't died before he had a chance. But you see, I'm just telling you that you can get legalistic with things, but what matters is the Word. Amen. You know, the eunuch, as soon as he believed, he got baptized, right? He said, here's water, what hinders me? Well, you can if you believe, and he did. But there are circumstances, such as the thief on the cross. Jesus told him, you're going to be in paradise with me today. I don't think he made it to water before he died on the cross. See what it's all about, again, believing and confessing. God made it easy. So don't forget that. Now, let's talk about another controversial subject, healing. God's will is to heal every person. Matter of fact, as far as God's concerned, you're already healed. Come on now, you're not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed confessing your manifestation. And you got to realize that. I want to show you some scriptures, okay? Because again, if we want to know God's will about it, it'll be in the Word, right? Psalm 107:20. Very quickly. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Right there. He sent His Word. Well, why would He send His Word? Because that's His will. He sent His will and healed them. He sent His Word and He healed them. Of course, you know that Jesus was the Word made flesh, right? Right? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We'll look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. When even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirit with His Word and healed all that were sick. Notice that. Well, see, Jesus was the Word was Jesus. Naturally, if the Word was sent to heal us, when Jesus came, He came healing. Amen. Come on. Then it goes on and it said, let me just read on just a little bit more, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. See, when you understand about healing, see, because here's the thing, here's the argument, here's what religion says. Religion says that's not for today. Oh, yeah, I know it's in the Bible, but it's not for today. That was for the early church. I hate to tell them that, but we're still the early church. We're still the New Testament church. The New Testament church began when Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected. We're still living the New Testament. It is still for us. If He bore our sicknesses and infirmities, then we don't have to. Because if we have to bear our sicknesses and infirmities, then we would also then have to carry our sins, would we not? Think about it for a minute. If what Jesus did on the cross took away our sins, then what Jesus did by being striped, He bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. So just like our sin problem was taken care of, our healing or health problem was taken care of. Jesus took care of it. Let me give you two more scriptures along this line so you'll see. Isaiah, Old Testament prophet, I say this all the time, looking God, revealing, showing Him from the Old Testament into the New. Isaiah says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." When Jesus was striped, it was for the healing of every one of us. For every person in the world that would be a believer. God even heals unbelievers. Did you know that? God still heals unbelievers. He's not obligated to, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves the world so much that He absolutely heals still. Works miracles. Doesn't have to. He's not obligated to, but He just loves humanity. Now, Isaiah was looking toward the cross. Peter, who was there looking back at the cross, in 1 Peter 2:24 says this, "Who His own self bare our sicknesses in His own body on the tree." See there? He bore them just like He did the sins. "That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." If you were, you was, you are. Right? Now that's the word, folks. And you know, you say, well, yeah, but what about all these symptoms? Of course, the devil is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We'll read in a minute. He's always trying to put sickness and disease upon us. But it's up to us to realize in our covenant with God, healing belongs to us. See, you've got to understand something, church. You say, yeah, but now everybody gets sick. There's a difference in everybody and us. The world lives in the kingdom of darkness where there's sickness and disease and poverty and lack and hurt. And we live in the kingdom of God if we're a born again child of God. We're citizens of a different kingdom. And in our kingdom, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no lack. You understand that? See, our problem is differentiating between the two. Because the world thinks we're crazy when we talk like I'm talking. Most religious folks think I'm crazy. Yeah. Are you going up to that church? That brown brain wash up there. I hope I can. I hope I can wash all that junk out of your brain and let you get the Word of God in your brain so that you can operate the way God says you can operate, according to His Word, not according to this world. You see, that's where the church is missing it. We're trying to act like the world when we're not in that kingdom. They think like the world. Come on. And see, that's part of what's creeping in to the church is what's in the world. All this liberal junk. You know, put in the pulpits homosexuals. Ordain them is the word I'm looking for. They ordain homosexual individuals. They say there's nothing wrong with all the different forms of immorality that they're involved in. That's what the world thinks. And so the church has adopted. We I mean, we're supposed to be very inclusive in the church, and we're supposed to show them. You can love them without and in love tell them God loves you, but He does not love sin. You cannot condone sin. You see, but the world and the church, it's hard to tell apart sometimes because the church wants to act like the world and accept what the world accepts. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that you are a peculiar people. Peculiar means you're different. I'd rather be different and be healed as to be like everybody else and be sick and die. Come on now. You see? And so here God says that healing belongs to us. By His stripes you were healed. In the mind of God, everything that you need for your healing and health and to walk in divine health has already been done. It was done on the cross. It was done through the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for you. God already sees us healed. And we need to see ourselves that way. Well, what about what I do when something comes on? Did you start speaking the word over yourself? Let me just give you a little example here. And this will hit every one of us. I said everyone, I'm pointing at me. Something comes at you. You run to the doctor. After hours clinic, right? Urgent care, emergency room. Anybody with me now? Come on now. I'm not trying to be mean here. I said us. Okay? We go see a doctor, and they give us medicine or a shot, you know, most of the time pills, and they give you directions to take those pills. Take one ever so many hours, or take one morning and night, one a day, whatever you've got to do. You follow the instructions on the medicine. And eventually, your healing will come. Right? Come on, because when you go to that doctor and they give you the shot, you're not instantly well. They give you the pills, you're not instantly well. Right? There's a process. Most of the time, you ride it out 3, 4, 5 days. Right? Come on now. Now, what would happen if we come upon us, because the enemy is not a respecter of persons either. He'll shoot at you with stuff. What would happen if we went to the great physician and we took his word and said, God, this thing's coming against me, and I know it's not your will for sickness or disease to be in my body because I belong to you, and sickness or disease is not part of the kingdom of God. So now, Father, I'm going to take my daily injection of the Word of God. Matter of fact, I think I'll do this 3 times a day. You know, I'm going to go ahead and take the Word and declare myself healed of God because you bore my sicknesses and infirmity. By your stripes, I was. What if 3 times a day we injected into us the healing scriptures and believed God? Wonder what had happened in the course of 3 or 5 days. Most likely, if we'll really believe, it won't take 3 days. Matter of fact, it ought to happen pretty quick, if not immediately, if we'll really believe the Word. Because as far as God's concerned, it's already yours anyway. It's just about us getting ourselves in the place and the mindset, I'm the healed of God. Devil got no business bringing this stuff on me. Come on. Well, yeah, but I've seen you sick. You sure have. But you also, if you was around me, you'd hear me confessing my healing. Amen. Because that's what we do. Because healing already belongs to us. God's already given it to us. By His stripes, ye were healed. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm the healed of God. I'll tell you something that I do every night. When I'm praying, I'll say, I thank you, Lord, that I'm the healed of God. I thank you that my wife's the healed of God. I thank you, Father, my family is the healed of God. I thank you the people who go to church at New Generation Church are the healed of God. I'm speaking the healing over you. Now, God's not going to make it happen to you if you're not in line with that or not in lined up with that. He won't override your will for my will. But I'm speaking it over you. I'm speaking it over me. Amen. Why? Because I believe it. I believe it's true. I believe that every one of us can walk in divine health. Come on. Why? Because the Word says we're already healed. So God would be lying if we couldn't walk in that healing. And God's not a liar. Right? All right. Am I helping you any here? Again, we're just doing what the Word says. Now, it's not about people's opinions. Okay, because there's going to be a lot of people, oh no, I don't believe that now, Pastor Mike. Well, I understand you don't believe it. Just go ahead and be sick. That's all I can tell you. If you don't believe in healing, just go ahead and be sick. If you'd rather be sick as to be healed. Come on now. I would rather, this may be a bad statement, but I would rather be sick knowing that healing belongs to me than to be sick not knowing that there's any healing available to me. That I got to depend on man's healing. You do know doctors practice medicine, right? What's that mean? That means sometimes they don't have a bit more clue what's wrong with you than you do. But they do know there's medicine for different things. And so, well, let's try this. Come on now. I've had them say, we'll try this and see if it helps. Why? Because they didn't know. And I understand that's practicing medicine, but the great physician here was striped for your healing. By his stripes you were healed. Amen. We've got to get a hold of that. Now, let's talk a little bit about another subject it's a bad subject for some. Let's talk a little bit about prosperity. See, we're a word of faith church, and I believe that God wants us all healed. I believe that God wants us to walk in the healing and salvation that Jesus has given us. But I also believe God wants us to walk in prosperity. He wants us blessed. Now, I understand that it's been prostituted, prosperity, by, you know, big name preachers and TV preachers and all that got caught up in the money cycle, and it was more about them getting money than you. But understand, that does not change the prosperity message. And you got to get a hold of that. It is God's will, and I'll prove it to you here in just a minute. It is God's will for you to be blessed and prosperous, have money. It is God's will for you to have prosperity. Now, prosperity is different for different people, and understand that. You know, what one person deems prosperity, another person may think you're living the low life. But if that's where you want to be, and you're happy being there, and your needs are being met, and you're able to give your tithes and offerings to God, and being able to bless when God says bless, then you're living in prosperity that you want to live in. See, some of you looking at me kind of funny. Not everybody can handle being a millionaire. That's been proven by the lottery many, 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 many times. Also by Hollywood many, 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 many times. You know, you'd think, oh, that's the happiest people in the world. They're movie stars. They're famous. Everybody knows about them. They've got millions and millions and millions of dollars, and then they kill themselves. See, that's not prosperity is having a good life. It's not just about the wealth. But if you it's hard to have a good life without money. Wow. I understand the Bible talks about rich men, but rich men are people that covet their money over God. Wealthy, you can be wealthy and still be in love with God, and God loves that you're wealthy because He designed you to be a giver. Did you hear me? There are people that are anointed to give. Did you go look, and the Bible talks about exhorters, and then God and giving is right in there with that. Why? Because some people can give and they don't do it grudgingly. They love to give and they love to see the blessing behind their giving. You know, but every one of us are supposed to be givers according to the Word of God, tithers and givers. Okay? So in order for me to be a good tither and a good giver, I need to be prosperous. Right? Because God's the one that gives seed to the sower. Isn't that what the Bible says? Bread to the eater, seed to the sower. Right? Multiplies the seed sown. People don't want to hear that. See, they'd rather hear, oh, now God don't want your money. God wants your faithfulness. This is our kingdom. This, This is our church. You know who's got to keep up this church? Us. It's our building. See, you're looking at me funny. Oh, God will take care of you. He will through His believers. If not you, somebody. And whoever the somebody is going to get blessed, and their seed's going to be multiplied. Amen. So let's read just a little bit here. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore unto His fathers, as it is this day." Now, this is Old Testament. I understand that. But notice this. God says, I'm the one that gives you the power to get wealth. And the reason I do that is to establish my covenant. Now, if the Bible teaches us now that we're under a new and better covenant, how much more is God going to bless us as He gives us power to get wealth as we establish the new covenant? God wants you prosperous so that the world can see you, that you're in covenant with God. Come on, anybody know anybody? I mean, you know, you don't have to put up no hands. Anybody know anybody that's from a rich family and seen their kids, how they dress and all that? Right? Come on, they're wearing designer clothes, probably driving the best of cars. Some of them going to private schools, the best schools you can get into. Why? Because their family's got money. Why in the world would you think it's your heavenly Father wouldn't want you wearing the best, driving the best, living the best, because you're His kids? So that when the enemy looks or the world looks, he can look at us and say, you know what? God sure is blessing His kids. It's profitable. It's a blessing to serve God. See, if you hear most preachers pray, oh, just hold on and hold out to the end, brother. Money's the devil. How come you're working 80 hours a week then? Come on now. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not money. God wants you walking in blessing. He gives you the power to get well. How does He give me power to get well? He's given me strength. He's given me breath. He's given me the ability to work. Come on now. And see, there's still that multiplied seed there that when I give, God supernaturally blesses. When Pastor Ed and I first started tithing, we just barely could pay our bills. She'll tell you that. Matter of fact, I would have let a bill go before I'd let my tithe go once I learned the truth of tithing. And I'm going to tell you something. God ain't done nothing but bless since we set our hearts and minds to that. I'm talking, somebody walks up and gives me $10, a dollar that's going into the offering. It's a tithe on it. See, some of you looking at me funny. That's how much I believe it. And you know what? I've seen it work, praise God. Still working in our lives. And when we get debt free, I'll tell you about it. Because it's humming. Amen. I'm already speaking it, absolutely. Haven't seen it yet, but I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. Amen. Now, here's the secret to being debt free. You got to quit spending. I have a little problem. So probably debt free after the boat. Okay, let's move on. Okay, that's a touchy subject there. We don't want to get in too deep into that. Okay, but He gives us power to get wealth. Okay, but He also, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll grant you the desires of your heart. Can I just throw that one in there for me? You did hear that, right, Pastor? Okay, just want to make sure she got that one. Okay, Job, listen to this. Job 22, chapter 22. Verses 23 through 28. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face to God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. See that? God wants you to have silver and gold and fine jewels. Why? Because God likes fine things. Did you hear me? I mean, you know, when God was describing the Garden of Eden, he didn't have to. Adam and Eve didn't know what gold and beryl and all the fine... They didn't have a clue. As far as they'd been concerned, it was just all rocks. But God starts bragging on it. I've got the rivers there and there's gold there. And he begins to talk about it. And then when he starts having the tabernacle made, he starts getting things overlaid in gold. When they build the temple, everything starts getting overlaid in gold. When Isaiah sees God high and lifted up in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train, his clothes, filled the temple. God likes nice things. You ever read the description of Jesus in the book of Revelations? Eyes like fire, that brass gold shining. Pretty snazzy dude. We're his kids. Okay? God wants you to be pretty snazzy. He wants you to have stuff. I just want you to see that. And then I'm going to give you a New Testament one just in case somebody... Oh, that's all Old Testament. 3 John, verse 2, chapter 1. Beloved, I wish above all things, in other words, here's God, the will of God again for you, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God wants you to prosper. It's his will for you to prosper. Not to be stingy, not to be grudging, not to just lay up so that you can say, I got all this money. But he wants you to have so that you can give. And at the point that you're given, see, that's the wonderful thing about that, is this. You get to eat while you're given. The Bible says you don't muzzle the ox that treads the corn. What's that mean? Well, for us farmers, we realize, and oh, that means that a muzzle was a thing. You know, we had mules. We never did plow with ox. Some of you may have. Anybody ever plowed with the ox or had ox in the field? I figured Brother James might. And was that you, Janie, back there, said you'd seen or somebody? But anyway, they used to use ox, and then, of course, they started using mules. And I wasn't too young to, or how should I say it? I'm not too young. I guess I'm old enough to remember, is the best way to say that. Okay. I can remember that some mules weren't like other mules. Some mules that, you know, they would just, as you're trying to plow with them, they just, I mean, they probably like me being a mule. You know, just eat all the way up the row, you know, tearing up the corn. You know, so they had back then a muzzle they'd put over their face. It was basically a wire cage that they strapped around the back of their head that stuck up over their nose. So he couldn't eat his stuff. He'd just have to go ahead and plow on through that. Now, the scripture says, don't do that. Because if you're going to use him to plow, then he ought to get eat part of what he's plowing. Okay. Now, to put that over in our terms, what God's saying, I'm not going to muzzle you. I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. And in the meantime, you can be eating what you want to eat of it. I'm going to make sure you got plenty of it so that you can just keep right on. See, that's what God wants. It's not one of those things where you have to worry, oh my gosh, if I spend this money, what am I going to do? No, I'm prosperous. I've got God's prosperity operating in my life. Amen. It's his will for me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Now, I've went a little long, but let me just real quickly give you a couple things here about the will of God concerning your life. Of course, John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See, it's God's will for you to have abundant life. He said that's why he came. Okay. Now, if you put that over into the Amplified, he goes on and he says, my purpose. No, I'm sorry. He says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. In the New Living Testament says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's the life God wants you to, to have. In Proverbs 10:11, it says, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So you can have long, the Bible promises you long life. Scripture promises long life. We buy into what all the world says, but the world don't know, because they don't know our God. Now, I could go on. There's some more scriptures. Proverbs 3 says that, it says, forget not my law, keep the commandments in my heart. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Talking about the Word of God. It's God's will for you to get into the Word, see what the Word says, believe the Word, and have length of days. God wants you to have an abundant life on this earth. He doesn't want you living in poverty. You study out the Word. I'm not going to go to the scriptures there. But wisdom is linked to long life and length of days. What do you mean wisdom? Wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge in the Word and wisdom how to operate in the Word. It'll bring length of days to you too. Also, of course, honor thy mother and father. And that's the promise of length of days. So God wants you to live all those things. And so I'm going to sum it up with this in Galatians. This is what Paul writes. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God's will is for you to walk in his blessing, be saved, be healed, be prosperous, and enjoy your life on this earth. And then we get to go to heaven, for it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now, Lord God, that you move on our hearts to help us to retain these words in us, Father God, that we'll listen and obey your word and allow that word to bring to pass in our lives everything that you've promised. God, we thank you, Father God, that you're not a man that you can lie, that you've told us the truth. And if we act upon that truth, we can believe and know that it will come to pass. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you now, Father God, Lord, for your word concerning salvation. I pray, Father God, that every person that's here that's not saved heard how easy it was to give their life to you. And I pray, Father, that today will be the day they say, you know what, I'm going to do what God says. I believe his word. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And I thank you for that. If that's you, you're in this place and you want to give your life to the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to come right now if you've never been saved. If you're